This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Chris Carlson. He's the CEO of a company called Retriever Consulting. And today we're going to talk about a brand new topic. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, 369 interviews, and I finally come up with a new topic. And the topic is containers. And you're going to look, think, scratch your head and go, containers, aren't those things on ships? Aren't those things that they put on the trucks and drive around the country? No. We're going to talk about containers and virtualization. And I was at a trade show, and I was talking to people about containers and virtualization. I said, who do you know who's smart? And they said, Chris Carlson is smart, and he's just walking by. So I grabbed him, so we had him in the studio. How you doing, Chris?
Good morning, John. Thank you very much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we were at the Amazon Web Services conference about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we chatted, and I said, geez, my listeners would really like to know about containers and come in here and tap your brain and talk about it. But before we talk about virtualization and containers and application development, tell us about your background and how you got your expertise in this area of information technology, please.
Well, I've been working in the IT field, John, now for more than 15 years, almost 20 years, I guess, since... And I worked with a number of small companies before I was with the software company that IBM bought, and which I left a couple years ago to start Retriever Consulting, which is a consulting company focused on cloud computing, transition to cloud strategy, application migration, workload migration, and offering specific solutions to government customers as a service.
So you've got a pretty good wide background in enterprise-level information technology, I'd say, huh?
Yes, I do. And from the days when helped transition the Baltimore City Public Schools to their IP network to works with all the major telecoms to work for the U.S. federal government.
Deep knowledge. And if you'd like more information on Chris and his company, you can go to his website. Now, it's not very radio friendly, so I'm going to have to spell it out. It's R-E-T-R-I. E-V-E-R, RetrieverConsulting.com. I guess it's kind of like the dog. Is that right?
Retriever Consulting? That's right. We had two retrievers when that company was named.
So you got to have RetrieverConsulting.com. That's great. Well, I was at the Amazon Web Services conference, and I sat on all kinds of – I learned about Redshift. I learned about virtualization. I learned about the amazing things that Amazon Web Services is doing. And I tell you, it was just a fascinating 2 days, and I had my plate full all those days. And one topic that I don't think that it was covered very well was this idea of Docker and containers and how it works with Amazon and different companies. And I thought we'd bring it in. Now, there are many listeners who understand virtualization. 5 years ago, I had Aileen Black in the studio here, and she talked about VMware and virtualization, and that was new back then. But I think it's old hat now. Most people understand, oh, yeah, virtualization, I get it. You can take and have an operating system spun up that is it's virtually the same as an initial operating system. So that's what virtualization is. However, virtualization can be applied in many different areas. I mean, we've seen it applies to desktops with virtual desktops, and now we're seeing virtualization applying to my favorite people, the application developers, the software writers, to make their life easier. So perhaps you can frame this discussion a little bit better, Chris, and tell us about what a container is and what virtualization is and maybe the roots to all this technology.
Sure, John. You know, containers, again, as you said, they're an old concept, and they go back to the software-based emulation of a computer. Hypervisor virtual machine developed by IBM and first introduced into the operating systems of the mainframe in the 70s. They took that to the next step with LPARs in their mid-series servers about 15 years ago. About the same time in the Berkeley FreeBSD, they started to put in utilities that would enable virtualization, giving multiple applications the capability to access the kernel. Solaris containers, now called Solaris Zones, rolled out in Solaris 10 years ago. And then Linux-based containerization has been available since 2007.
So if we have a whole operating system, we can come up with a virtual operating system pretty simply. We all know that. Microsoft can do it. Citrix can do it. You know, VMware can do it. All kinds of folks can do it. And so what they've done is instead of coming up with a virtual operating system, what they do is they come up with a small box or a container that will hold an application. And so that's what Docker is. It allows you to develop a container for an application. Is that right?
That's right. Containers partition the resources managed by a single operating system into isolated groups to better balance the workload across the conflicting demands on resources. So a container can run instructions native to the core. So it accesses the core CPU and the kernel, but it doesn't require any specific interpretation mechanism. So your virtual machine has an overhead that gives you the operating system, and it gives you the virtualized operating system, and it gives you those instructions. But the container is able to communicate directly, and it also shares common resources. For example, page cache of common files, glibc, for example, can be shared because all containers will use the same kernel and frequent the same libc library.
And so if you are working in a federal agency and your boss is twisting your arm to go agile, gotta go agile, what you have to do is come up with a test run and test environment quickly and then change it, boy, this is the exact answer for your dreams, isn't it?
Absolutely. And one of the things that, of course, Agile talks about, you know, there are a number of techniques that fall out in Agile that are core. And three of those are, of course, you have continuous delivery, continuous integration, and infrastructure as software. And so containers allow you to do that across the board. And the speed with which you can spin up a container and spin it out is much faster. It's on an order of magnitude faster than it is in a traditional virtual machine environment. And it also is easy to share, and you can run it across multiple environments on the desktop side, on the client side as well, for a dev test, which facilitates collaboration.
Later on today, I'll sit in a room with a bunch of software developers and begin my yelling and screaming and drawing on a whiteboard, and I'm told I'm an idiot, and we know this is how software developers work, and it's normal. And so what they like about this is that they can grab an application, put it in a container, and they don't want all the capabilities, the 2,000 capabilities of an operating system. They just want what they would call dependencies for this specific application. They can ship over someone, maybe a tester, and get it back and move on the next step for the agile software development. And I think this is the whole key. It makes life easier for application developers and system managers, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And in fact, like you said, they can bundle in those dependencies, and then they create an image, and then they create a file, and it works off of images and files so that it can be replicated and easily shared. And you only put in what you need. And then as they go through each step in the process, as a developer or a tester makes changes, those changes, they save a new version of the file, and those changes are automatically in it. And so the next time they run the image, it includes those changes, assuming they've been committed.
So Solaris has had containers 10 years ago. Linux had containers in 2006. So this isn't exactly, you know, front page of the Washington Post breaking news. So this company called Docker gets on the scene in March of 2013. Just takes and just blows up. They have their own conference here in June. So what's the differentiator with something called Docker? Why is it different from the other thing that's been around for a few years?
Well, what Docker has done is Docker has taken the containerization capabilities and made it consumable, made it repeatable, and then they've created a community around it. And of course, as you know, that's really essential. So ironically, Docker was started by .cloud.com, that was a platform as a service, and they wrote it for their own use, and then they ended up rewriting it and making it open source. And the reason they did it was they wanted to automate the creation and deployment of containers, and they came up with a Docker engine, which is the platform, and then they have workflows and tooling to help get it going. They also have, which is really important for the whole infrastructure, is code concept. They have the REST API, which is very well documented and very complete. So anything you can do from the command line, you can do from an API. So therefore, it can be scripted or automated in another system.
You know, most of the software developers I know, in fact, they've been in shorts, maybe barefoot with a shirt or something, and haven't shaved in a week, and they'll use the word, it's elegant.
Yes.
It's like, well, so their appreciation is with code, and they go, well, I'm just like a bum, but you know, this Docker makes things easier and it's elegant. Let's take a break, Chris. When we come back, talk more about software developers and this whole idea of Agile and containers and where it may fit in for my audience here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Chris Carlson, CEO of Retriever Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris Carlson, CEO of Retriever Consulting. And if you're a speller out there, it may be easy, but if you don't know how to spell like me, just go to R-E-T-R-I-E-V-E-R, RetrieverConsulting.com, just like the dog. Learn all kinds of stuff about Chris. Maybe download a white paper, read his blog about this interview. Before the break, we were talking about this new, old technology. So everyone knows about virtualization. Okay, you got a checkbox. Okay, virtualize a server. Okay, use the same hardware. And understand that. Virtualize a desktop. Okay, what about virtualizing an instance of an application and putting it in a container and move it around? So what Docker is a way to put applications in a container. It doesn't, you know, access the entire operating system, just what they call the rooted operating system, and give software developers all kinds of flexibility, doesn't it, Chris?
Absolutely, John.
Yeah, that's great. So you can move things around and test it and everything else.
That's right. You put application and its resources into a container, build once, run anywhere, configure the container once, run anything in it. Very small footprint, so you can have a much greater density versus traditional VMs.
There's this guy named Vivek Kundra who sat in that chair, and he talked about the 25 points. We all know that.
Absolutely.
Well, guess what? Move to the cloud. Okay. And so we have our listeners, that get arms getting twisted, and they're saying, move to the cloud. And the software developers are going, now, hey, wait a minute here. You just don't just flip a switch and move to the cloud. What a software developer will say is, you know, it'd be great if we could take a little environment, a test environment, and test some things, and then test them again and change them and test them, and then make the step to the cloud. Well, maybe that's the application. Maybe you can take and use containers to move to the cloud. Maybe you can use containers to change things around in a data center as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. And so the containers fit both the data center and cloud computing environments. You know, they can run Docker on many different environments, including Windows 7, Windows 8. Its production version is tied to the Linux kernel, but it's supported in a number of different cloud platforms, including Microsoft Azure has Linux VMs that have support for Docker, for example, as well as other community solutions like Chef and Puppet. But again, as we talked about earlier, developers can create an image of their own system, share it with the team, and then each member of the team can iterate along it. And again, one of the things that they want to do, obviously, is they want to be able to have a repository so they can check in and out so that they can really be performing that continuous integration. But the speed allows them to do it more reliably and also allows them to move towards continuous delivery, which is where you bundle and build on a continuous basis. And you also run things through testing and your various test scenarios. And the test scenarios obviously can be wrapped into the integration cycle so that you're running as many automated tests as possible.
So Docker came on the scene in 2013. In June of this year, they had DockerCon, big announcement, Docker 1.0. Everyone jumped on it. So it sits on top of a single Linux instance, and it can run an isolated app. That's great. Now, you know, there are some limitations, too. And let's talk about the limitations of this technology. It's Linux only, isn't it?
Today it is. That's right.
So it would be,
although it runs bare metal, so you can obviously run it in a bare metal environment, but if you're running in a hosted environment, it's dependent on Linux.
You know, I like this idea of bare metal. Developers always talk about forklifting. Well, I'm going to forklift this from here. I'm going to forklift this, and that's what you can forklift a container. It just dawned on
absolutely.
Me. That's the metaphor.
That is absolutely the metaphor. So.
Yeah. So you can take and forklift an application from here to there, and it makes their life easy. All of a sudden, they don't have to worry about running a test environment. They don't have to worry about accessing this. And if you're on Amazon Web, let's face it, it can be expensive to go in AC2 and pop up an instance. This way, it makes life a whole lot easier because all kinds of flexibility. So we know one limitation, Linux only. So it would be hard to simulate interactions with services on mainframes. That's one limitation of Linux only, isn't it?
That's right. Although there are ways to get around that, depending on what you're trying to do, particularly, if you're really running, they have C Linux for the IBM mainframe, for example. So there are things that you can do that. And you can also, most mainframes have communication channels that you can support. So they'll support HTTP, for example, and Docker uses HTTP as one of its interfaces. So they have the capacity to do that. They can also... one of the things that's an advantage to Docker and containers in general that helps make them secure, obviously, is that each container has its own network settings, and you can define private and public IP ranges within those containers, and you can really set up some very sophisticated security-related network access policies on the containers.
So I guess another limitation just from a software development perspective would be I would imagine there's some kind of a simulation limit. In other words, if you are coming up with an application that you have to use an API and access third parties, it may be limiting there. Is there a workaround for that as well? I'm thinking from a logical perspective.
Well, so absolutely. And again, your containers let you can containerize the different components of the application as well. So you can build them in a hierarchy, but you can also containerize different applications, and then you can, your composite can be a combined build of them. And there are techniques that can be used to do that, and then to automate that more extensively at a higher level of abstraction.
It makes sense because, I mean, you've worked at IBM, worked for large organizations. I mean, containers, this isn't their first day at the rodeo, is it? I mean, they've been around, so they've encountered some of these problems in the past, and there are workarounds that people know about. What about scale limits? I would think that just part of an operating system doesn't give you the strengths and benefits of a full-blown operating system. So the limitation is in maybe high-performance work? Is that something that may limit it?
Well, that potentially they've again, what you're scaling horizontally, you're not scaling vertically, so you just run more instances. And again, I've not seen it use cases as strong yet in the high performance computing. Obviously, it's anything that's web oriented and transaction oriented is pretty simple to and deploy in this manner.
I will use a four-letter word here that's going to get me in trouble with the FCC. The four-letter word is IPv6. And I've had guests on, we've talked about it for years, and maybe it's like people, first of the month I'll go on a diet and lose some weight, I'm going to quit smoking. What about IPv6? Does it integrate with that or not, or is this just something that's not even considered anymore as important?
Well, IPv6 is obviously important as you look at the exhaustion of internet assigned numbers and IP addresses in the IPv4 space. But here it does it. They're able to operate with both.
Oh, that's good. That's good. If software developers can use a term like forklifting, I can use the term managed by magazine. And a lot of magazine articles on Docker. I have three that I have printed out in front of me. Docker turns 1.0, Docker and Linux, Docker, how Docker works with containers. Is this just the latest trend? Is this just the next pet rock or something? Is this going to be in 6 months from now, people look back and go, well, that was fun, and now we're using another type of technology?
John, that's a great question. And, honestly, I think it's not. I do believe that there is a disruptive nature to the concept of containers in broad space and Docker in particular. And because it's so important, the need to deliver services quickly and reliably to customers. They can transform the application development process. They can transform the dependencies into code. And then, of course, as code equivalents, which images and file, and therefore they can be automatically and programmatically managed. And again, that reduces time to market, and it gives you a more reliable and secure application.
And managing the containers is something that lots of companies are jumping on. We've seen Red Hat get involved with Docker. We've seen Amazon Web Services get involved in Docker. We've seen Google get involved in Docker. In fact, Google just 2 weeks ago announced an open source tool called Kubernetes that allows people to manage their containers, and maybe that will be the next breakthrough. Is okay, we use Docker and we've got all these containers, and we've got hundreds of them on a machine. That machine, how exactly to manage them, how to use them in parallel. That may be the next breakthrough. Let's take a break, and we'll talk more about containers, managing containers, and where they may apply for my listeners. Okay, so we have this technology. Where will it apply in an agency? What about my federal information professionals? What can they take away from this interview? Where can they learn more? You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris Carlson, CEO of Retriever Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris Carlson. He's the CEO of a company called Retriever Consulting. Chris has a long history with enterprise software, all kinds of large organizations, and he's dealt with many federal agencies. We're talking about some brand new concept here that you may not have heard of. Everyone's heard about virtualization. Okay, we know that. Within the last 2 years, people have heard about virtualized desktop. Okay, you've heard about that. Now, this is a new way, a new old way to apply virtualization, and it benefits mostly software developers. But you know, Chris, I think it really it benefits the managers as well, because if a manager wants a project to go to completion and step by step, get the requirements, test it, change, test, iterate, change. I mean, this would assist in a manager reaching the goals for an agency too, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, John. That's a great point. And one of the things that we talked about, you know, they talk all these scorecard evaluations, look at some of those macro numbers. And this is a great way to do that. Like I talked about a little bit earlier about how it's helps from the Agile develop a number of key Agile concepts, particularly continuous integration and continuous delivery, and which are drive to what you're talking about. So the idea of an Agile, when you're using Docker or similar type of container, and you can actually iterate once, twice, or multiple times a day as a developer, which really gives you a lot of flexibility. So
and you don't have to worry about managing the environment and interacting with those systems, because you know the limitations are right there. Many of my listeners and my students get information from blogs. My blog is called Tech Tuesday Blog. I'll be writing about this interview. Do you write a blog, Chris, or is there a blog you can recommend my listeners to read to keep up with some of this newer technology?
Yes, John. My blog's at retrieverconsulting.com, R-E-T-R-I-E-V-E-R, consulting.com.
Just like the dog? Okay. So you have a blog there. You're hoping to write about this interview.
Absolutely.
And write about many different things. I have written about Docker in the past, and I have written about Amazon's Kinesis, and so many different topics out there. There's one phrase that I see that's kind of trending, and the phrase that I think is trending is DevOps. And I guess it's a new way to describe what traditionally has happened. I mean, if you get developers and testers and operations people in the same area, usually there's a lot of back and forth and pointing of fingers. And I think this is what DevOps is trying to do. And maybe this is what these containers are trying to do, is make life easier for the developers and the testers and the operations people, so they can solve, maybe reach the deadline or reach the finish line at the same time.
Absolutely, John. You're right. DevOps focus on breaking down the barriers between development and operations, and going and automating that to the extent possible. And containers are a great way to facilitate that through the life cycle.
My wife and I watched a movie called The Lego Movie a while back and thought it was pretty interesting. Everything is awesome. People say, well, hey, Docker is just like Legos and everything's awesome. No, everything is modular. You can pick. Do you think that's a good illustration or metaphor? Is this kind of like, you know, Lego blocks and putting them together and taking them apart and making different things?
Well, that's a little bit of a good analogy. And, you know, that's so the services-oriented architecture, you know, started out as a little bit of that. And this is sort of an extrapolation of that to at the next level, at the application layer. So, yes, they are. And you can, and the, you know, not unlike different to the Lego box, you know, they're not just different colors, but they have different capabilities. You can have containers that have different functions. For example, you can have different builds. So we talked about how do you, you know, build a very large, complex application or service. And that's the way you do it in the Lego mode.
If you're listening to this interview and there's snow on the ground and you still want to get more information, you can, of course, go to Retriever Consulting. But also, I listened to a podcast by a guy named David Linthicum. He writes for InfoWorld. And he has interviewed the founder of Docker, and he has interviewed last week. He talked with Mike Lingo from Astadia about Docker. And I think this is a good way to get a perspective on how it may fit for your agency or how it may fit for you and how it can help solve some of the problems involved in this new world of cloud and transitioning to cloud and going from client-server to service-oriented applications and testing it out and going back and forth. What we see, Chris, is we see companies like Amazon get involved in this, Red Hat, IBM. A lot of people are picking up this technology that are familiar with it before, so there must be some attraction to Docker.
Absolutely, John. And we talked about, you know, there are already one of the things that they've done is I talked earlier that they are the advantage they provide the platform and with this Docker engine with the workflows and management tools, but they also the REST API, and then they have repositories, and there are hundreds of different images or versions of things inside the Docker repository. And those have different environmental configurations. So you can, if you want an environment, you can pretty much find anything out there already configured and available in the open source public repositories. And so that's a great start point.
So if you're coming up with an application and you're scratching your head going, well, I wonder if it's going to work with this version of Red Hat with this instance, and there's probably some library out there that might contain something. We can pull it and just test it. Is that right?
Absolutely, John. Oh. So that's part of it as well. And obviously there are lots of, Docker has its own library. There's libraries on the Git. And then as you talked earlier, one of the points that's very useful as you try to look at production and DevOps is you want to have a management, you know, what we used to call the management plane, but you want to have something that's going to manage this through the life cycle. And that's why, like you talked about, Amazon Web Services is getting involved. You know, it's part of OpenStack, which has got HP, IBM, Red Hat, and other people really backing it. They're pushing for an integration there, and it's still immature there, but it's moving. The IBM soft layer claims to be adding support for that from a management perspective. You mentioned what Google's doing earlier. Red Hat OpenShift has some support for it. And then, of course, Amazon Web Services has multiple ways to use things like Docker or Chef or Puppet or other types of management system so that you can do it directly on an EC2 instant as a user. It also can be deployed as an application through AWS Elastic Beanstalk, which is one of the capabilities that they announced this year. And then you can, of course, deploy it through AWS OpsWorks, which is uses a Chef client and an Amazon specific backend to give you some lifecycle control. And then, of course, you can take that further in AWS CloudFormation, which will let you templatize, because CloudFormation uses JavaScript object notation or JSON files to templatize everything that's available in the Amazon infrastructure. And so if you go to that level, you can actually create a templatized deployment of your architecture that can be spun up in multiple regions for high availability or for DR or for other reasons that you may have.
You know, it seems that this is more of an enabling technology that should be part of a larger system, or I'll throw out the word that may get me orchestration. It has to be part of something else. And maybe that's why people like Amazon and HP and Red Hat are saying, well, let's they can work with this because we think it can fit in well with our framework, or, you know, there's no really word for this. I guess orchestration might be the best word to describe it.
Oh, that's right, John. Orchestration or automation plane, and that's absolutely. So that's absolutely how it fits. And so the guys that developed it were providing a PaaS service themselves. So for them, all they need, this is what they needed. They needed they wanted to be able to automate the lifecycle of what they were offering to their customers. And so it fit within that bucket. And so from people providing services, you can do the Docker can be used as a key component to the service offering. But for enterprises and organizations, agencies that want to do it on their own, then you've got to have this as part of that orchestration or management plane. And that requires this higher level of abstraction or integration.
Many of my listeners are intensely interested in security, and they're also interested in agile software development. And what I'd like to do is maybe take a break and come back, and we'll put this in perspective. Okay, so we know Docker is an open source project. Okay, we know that. We know that it really wasn't designed with federal agencies involved. It was designed for commercial organizations to leverage some of their ability to use the cloud, maybe even make the transition to the cloud. We know that. And I don't know exactly where it fits in the security framework. Maybe we'll take a break and talk more about security and Docker implementation and maybe what Retriever Consulting can do to help our listeners make that transition. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris Carlson, CEO of Retriever Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris Carlson. He's the CEO of Retriever Consulting. He has a long history of working with large enterprise systems, with working with agencies and helping them develop code. And we talked about something new today, a new variation on virtualization, not desktop, not server, but virtualization for applications, specifically in containers. And the brand name is Docker, which is an open source software, but we've been talking about Docker through most of the show. You know, many of my listeners are active on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. Do you have a Twitter handle, Chris, for your company yourself?
Yes, John, I have one. I actually have both. My own is at Chris Carlson 83. And of course, I have at Retriever Consulting and at Retriever Apps for the app side of the business.
Yeah. So, and by the way, the Docker community is very, very active on Twitter. In fact, you can go to DockerCon.com and get all the slides from the last show in June. And they're just really, really open and willing to share all kinds of information. Now, I don't know if they're going to share much information about but security or not. But it seems like this is this something that's also in the game here? Is this under consideration, security and these containers?
Absolutely, John. So again, one of the advantages here is every application runs in an isolated container. So it cannot accesses the core and the common libraries, but it cannot access other applications. So it is actually more secure, and there's no virtualization engine running, so there's no VM to compromise it. So it is a more secure environment. And one of the things, of course, people talk about, you know, how do you respond to security events? So there are some organizations that were able to patch to that, you know, that OpenSSL bug that hit. They were able, using Docker files, if they had actually do that, they were able to patch their entire site, you know, in minutes because of the speed, the ability with which they could stand up, start, stop, and reboot us and start a new image.
Well, you seem like you are very competent in this area. For more information, you can go to R-E-T-R-I-E-V-E-R, retrieverconsulting.com. Maybe give them a call, see if maybe Container is going to help you achieve your goals at your agency or not. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's a difficult concept. It fits in with many other parts of developing environment. And I think so many people are picking up in the commercial world. I think the federal government should at least understand and have it as a tool in a toolbox. I may want to pull it out. One interesting concept when I talk to listeners, they listen to guests and they go, I wonder if that Chris Carlson is really a nerd or not. And so I've come up with a scientific 10-question test. And I'm going to ask these 10 questions, Chris, and then I'm going to run it through my UNIVAC computer and find out if, in fact, you're a nerd or if you're a regular person. So first question is, so I break into your house tonight and don't get shot. and how many just old school desktops do I see floating around?
We don't have any, John.
Okay, that's the right answer. Number of cell phones you have. How many have you bought in the last year, cell phones?
One.
That's weak on the nerd scale. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yes.
And do you have a personal blog?
No,
okay. And what kind of smartphone you have?
I have the Samsung Galaxy S5.
Galaxy, that's a new one. And yeah. What is the most popular app on that phone that you've used in the last 30 days?
Well, John, I think if you count out, obviously, any of the business and productivity apps, I've actually been using the virtual multi-factor agent for Amazon Web Services, too, because that's how I control access into my Amazon environment.
Big nerd points. Big nerd points there. You're shot up on the scale. All these things I have in front of me are shooting up. Woo, 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 woo. Wow. How many tablet devices do we have floating around your house there, big guy?
Well, I have an old original iPad, and I have a Kindle Fire HD.
You just lost points on that answer. And are you active on any social networking sites?
Yes, I do LinkedIn pretty actively.
Okay. And how many LinkedIn groups are you participating in?
About half a dozen.
Half a dozen. Well, great. I expect you to post your blog on those groups.
Absolutely.
And get publicity. Last book you read, Chris, was it electronic or paper?
Electronic.
Good nerd points there. It seems like you're strong in some categories, weak in the other. I'll have to run this through my machine in the basement.
You know, that's my problem, John. I'm a left brain, right brain guy.
Yeah, you're both really strong and really weak in some areas. You know, it's kind of like, must have been hard for your teachers to evaluate you. You only got a 0 on this test and 100 on the hard test. So how do you figure out this guy? He's hard to figure out. One thing that my listeners are trying to figure out is, where the heck does Docker fit in? You got hundreds of people, bunch of nerds with dirty T-shirts and unwashed hair and earphones sitting in these conferences and saying, no, this containerization can really make life easier for my DevOps people. And the govies are going, well, maybe it fits in here. And so that's the question. Where do you think this is all heading for my listeners? You think that the govies are going to pick up on containerization, or is this going to be something that leaves them in the kind of leaves them on the side of the road?
Well, John, I think that it's definitely going to have an uptick in the gov market for a number of reasons. One of the things that we talked about earlier, obviously, was who's supporting it. All the big integrators, all the big players are very strong behind it. And so, you know,
Google, Amazon Web Services, Red Hat, IBM, everyone.
IBM, HP, absolutely. So, you know, they all are on board. So you're going to see that. So definitely there. And again, what's one of the things that you see as the ability to self-service, and it's a very simple extension. So for developers, it's actually not that hard to do. So it's a very simple next step, and the benefits far outweigh the cost of learning how to use the container.
And from my perspective, with my low IQ, I really have to read articles and talk to people and listen to podcasts and understand it. But there are developers who are listening to this show that can go to the Docker site, read some documentation, figure it out, and they're using it within hours. I mean, I've seen people do it. So
they have a tutorial. You go in, you take the tutorial, you finish the tutorial, they set you up with an account, you're there automatically. Then you're there. They have clients for multiple environments, from the Mac OS X to you can run it on Windows 7 and 8. So,
and really, that's, I guess we missed, you can sit and have a notebook computer and create a Docker container and then port it over to a server somewhere and run
it.
I mean, this gives people a lot more flexibility than ever before. And all of a sudden, it has all the, what my developers call dependencies that they needed in this rooted OS, and they can test it out in a different environment or send it over to someone and say, okay, how is this going to fit with your API?
Absolutely, John. And then, so again, the ability to share those common files in a cross-platform is very important to, I think that's going to help the adoption of this as we move forward, particularly within the federal government.
Are there specific agencies that you work with or maybe seen where you think this might be a good fit? Now, you don't have to name specifics. In general, would it be maybe outward-facing agencies that deal with citizens, or maybe more inward-facing agencies, or just in general everyone?
Well, it's applicable anywhere, John. And actually, I think people that have a need to deliver services repeatedly and are really trying to drive towards the agile concept of continuous delivery and continuous integration, if they have projects in place there, they're the first candidates, because for them, it's a zero cost of entry almost. You and I were talking about during the break was DISA, that I've worked with for many years. And, you know, they one of their challenges that they've always told me was moving through development, through the various test sites into production.
Exactly, DevOps
and
problems, yeah.
The whole DevOps problem. And the challenge they have also moving across enclaves. So containers give them an opportunity to break down some of the barriers and the challenges that they were having in that. So they're obviously a candidate for this.
And not a heavy load, not much weight on the CPU at all.
No.
So you could run 100 instances of Docker on a notebook computer, the one right in front of you.
Yeah, close to that. they can do many things, and the scale is And that's one of the, they can scale up and absolutely do that, right?
What about this concept called Git? I guess Git has a government office, and my listeners can go there for information. What exactly is Git, Git?
So Git is a source repository for open source code that has that Git.com, Git.com. They also have GitHub, which is a their private repositories. Anybody can have a Git account, and you can access. There's thousands and thousands of versions of source code and binders out there that you can access. And it so people set it up and they share, and it has a tree structure so you can check in and out, and you can modify and add comment on it. So you can add, so people will put the code, they'll put the directions, the README, whatever, they'll put the documentation there. And so it's a good point now. And government agencies are starting to use it, and they're using it. Some agencies are even using it to publish rules and policies.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or comment.
Well, great. We've had a good insight from Chris on containerizations and new ways to use virtualization in the federal government. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Chris Carlson, who is the CEO of Retriever Consulting. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.